Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, I'm co-hosting with Ray Hager.
Thank you, Sam. Today's guest is Robert Rippey of the International Gaming Institute at UNLV. And the topic today is esports in Nevada.
And it's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're joined by Ray Hager, who's co-hosting with me today. It's a pleasure to have you back in the studio,
Thank
sir.
You, Sam.
And Robert Rippey of UNLV's International Gaming Institute joins us also. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so we're going to be talking about the CoLab Esports Innovation Lab project being developed at UNLV. And I want to start out because there are members of this audience who are a little north of, say, 65 years old that may not be aware of what's happening to generations, multiple generations below them. And let's start out with back in 1974, I got my first experience with a game called Pong. Remember Pong? And it came off the computer, and it was in a desk, and two people could sit on either side of this desk and knock this little ball backwards and forwards electronically, and we all thought, this is the greatest thing ever. Since then, video games have taken off. Video consoles are huge business. There are new video consoles coming out in the next couple of weeks that are going to be huge. Coronavirus has made video sports huge, even bigger than they were before, because people have been locked up. But what's interesting is that, among many things, is that for what, the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, around the world, people have been playing video games where tens of thousands of people have been watching them in stadiums and arenas. And yet that has not really begun to occur in a big way until now. It's just beginning in the United States. Give us a little history and tell us where we are at this point.
Sure, I'd be happy to. By the way, I have an interesting note to your point on Pong. Nolan Bushnell, who was one of the developers of Pong, was a speaker in my class. And I opened with almost the exact thing that you just said. We used to sit at a table and play Pong with those round controllers for hours and hours. And essentially, that really was the birth of video game, competitive video gaming. And to put it in context of where we got to today, it really took a look at its origins is in South Korea. And this is about over a decade and a half ago. South Korea was in a severe recession. The unemployment rate in young people was extremely high, well over 20%. And so young people, being anything under, say, 21, had plenty of time on their hands. And they began to spend it in these internet cafes called PC Bangs. And the PC Bangs, what they would do is, for a few dollars, they could play video games all day long. And so they started playing, and eventually and organically that evolved into competitions where one internet cafe would play another in a certain game. And eventually that caught the attention of sponsors who noticed this growing audience. And within a decade, as you mentioned, they were hosting these competitions in soccer stadiums and selling them out. 60,000 fans to come and watch players play against each other in a video game.
Hang on, 60,000 fans at that point?
Yes. This was, that was called a World Championship Series for a game called League of Legends, and it was played in Seoul, South Korea in a soccer stadium. This is over a decade ago. And so fast forward to today, you know, esports has been growing, and esports is a term that you hear associated a lot with this. And what it has to mean is it means high levels of competitive video gaming. Think of them as professional teams or collegiate teams playing against each other under the banner of UNLV or UNR, and they have a team and they play these games against each other just as they do in basketball or baseball or softball or whatever. So esports, the trajectory of esports then began to follow the development of these teams. And the teams, it was a global phenomenon because you think about it, play a video game, I could play one from here, right here from my home office. I don't have to go someplace to play the game. And so the competitions began to grow and take root around the world, and particularly in the United States. And the growth of esports in the United States was moving along at a pretty fast clip. Now, granted, our assumption, those of us being baby boomers, is this is all young people, right? And for the most part, that's true. The average age of a quote unquote gamer is probably under 30. But since the pandemic has happened, there's been this kind of acceleration of all of that because we're all forced indoors. We're all forced to go online for entertainment. And we began to realize that this is a pretty interesting thing, not only from the perspective of playing the games, because there are now tens of thousands of titles out there of all kinds of games. There's something that will appeal to anybody, but also the competition element of watching professionals or very good players play has turned it into a form of entertainment in addition to being a form of gameplay. And that's kind of where we are today. We're at this point where it has evolved into this, you know, massive form of entertainment and gaming that's a global phenomenon that has been accelerated because of the pandemic and us being forced indoors and forced home. And so these teams are getting more notoriety. There are bigger and bigger sponsors stepping up to the table. They're on ESPN, they're on, you know, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on online platforms. And here we are talking about them today.
Robert, in a post-COVID world, how many people do you think could be attracted to come to Las Vegas for an esports tournament? I would think it would be as many people as you would get at a major convention in Las Vegas.
It's a great question, and they already have. We have history of that already. MGM has hosted a number of these tournaments already in the MGM Events Center. And I think that holds around 10,000 people. I think there's about 10,000 seats in there. And I actually went to a couple of them, and it was full. They sold it out. And so they have the track record of doing this already and showing that the model for this, that there is a significant fan base for this. And that fan base, by the way, isn't just people who are, you know, 18 to 21 years old. It's people like me. It's people in their 40s, you know, who have discovered this form of entertainment and have kind of latched onto it. And when you go to the live events, it seriously is no different than going to a basketball game other than the content. There's two teams, the arena fans are split in half. They're cheering for their team when it starts picking up in action, and they're waving things in the air and they're wearing their jerseys. And it's the energy and excitement is identical to any other type of sporting event. So to your question, I think, of course, this is naturally, it's been accelerated because of the pandemic, and it isn't going to go away. That's for sure. And I certainly think that we're in a really good position to take advantage of this change in consumer behavior towards online entertainment.
So does this point out a divergence between people who absorb the regular media and people who are getting their information online by the fact that two of us, Ray and I, who are, I would say, reasonably well-educated, read a lot, but are not knowledgeable about esports, and yet this is a phenomenon that is worldwide, including the United States, but it seems like old media and new media are not connecting in terms of promoting this, because you would think that the gaming companies would have been screaming from the rooftops, don't come here just to gamble. I mean, that's a part of this, but don't just come here to gamble. If you want to play esports, we can open up the Mandalay Bay Convention Center and fit 10,000 people in there, no problem.
So it's a great question. And I think that, you know, and I can't speak for the gaming companies, but I certainly hypothesize that what they see is they see this change in behavior, right? And you see this large audience out there and they're consuming entertainment. We are the epicenter for entertainment. How do we mix our kind of physical offering with this online environment that they are so eager to participate in? And that's what I've been working on at UNLV for the last 3 years in my lab, my esports lab, is we're trying to figure out what is the right formula to commercialize this into a modern integrated resort or casino resort. It really isn't just open up a room and put some, you know, high-powered computers in there for people to come and play video games. That really doesn't work very well. And they'll close that room pretty quick because they'll realize it's just not worth it. There's just no money in renting computers out for people to use. That's an internet cafe, and that's a very, very low margin business. On the other hand, if you look at it as a form of entertainment, which they're very good at, I mean, look at the nightclubs and restaurants and everything else that has kind of defined the integrated resort today, you've got to find the right way to bring this into that same mix. Do what you do really well, which is physical on-site entertainment, but now figure out how to engage this crowd that really is about online entertainment and want the two together. And they socialize with it. Don't get me wrong. We kind of sometimes have this stereotype of the gamer as, you know, someone sitting in the basement of their house playing video games. And while there may be people like that, overwhelmingly, when you go to these tournaments, you see parents with their kids, you see 30-year-olds drinking a beer and watching the game. You see groups of you know, people over 21 that went together, and there's 5 or 10 of them, and they're just, it's an outing, it's a form of entertainment. So I think that there are multiple questions that have to be answered in order for this to make that full transition into the modern experience of Las Vegas.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with much more on esports with Robert Rippey after this timeout.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino. All new DC Cafe and Bar, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Robert Rippey. He is with the International Gaming Institute at UNLV and is an expert on esports. And we are learning more as we go here, right?
Robert, one of the reasons why we're interviewing you today is that eSports has now a connection with the Knowledge Fund, which was created by the legislature back in the 2011 session. And can you explain the Knowledge Fund's part in the eSport evolution, if you could?
I can, I'm very, very grateful the insight and foresight of the Knowledge Fund and those people in charge to help us put this initiative together. But as we were talking about before, so you have this growing phenomenon of eSports. And what the Knowledge Fund has enabled is we have partnered with a company called Rainmaking, who is an innovation accelerator. In other words, they take ideas and they accelerate it to its commercial potential. And so we are working with Rainmaker and to identify from within the industry, like we were talking about before, what are the types of innovation that you are most eager to purchase? What are you most eager to bring into your integrated resort or casino resort in order to attract this crowd? What would be the things that you would sign off on a purchase order this afternoon if we had it? And what that enables us to do as an innovation lab is to help students who are the inventors in my lab really kind of narrow their focus so they're really developing product that are going to drive economic development. And so it's a really great program. It's a way to accelerate it, to speed everything up, you know, and obviously it's as a result of the pandemic and everything else that's been happening. But this allows us to say, hey, you know, if you build this, if you can figure out this question, the answer to this problem, then you've probably got a dozen just different operators in Las Vegas or Reno who are really going to be interested in hearing what you found. And so the Knowledge Fund enabled all of that by bringing us Rainmaking, and then we started working together with Rainmaking, and we started the program about a month ago, and we're about a third of the way through right now.
You know, in Robert, in 2017, in China, who seemed to, you know, China and South Korea are more advanced in this than the United States is currently, but in 2017, China built a stadium very large place just for esports. Now in Las Vegas, you know, and a few years ago, they built a stadium for the hockey team. They just finished Allegiant Stadium for the Raiders. Do you see in the future a stadium built in Las Vegas just for esports competition?
Great question. So we already have facilities, right? So MGM right. has HyperX Esports Arena at Luxor. And there have been attempts at other Downtown Grand actually was the first to open a dedicated esports facility, and so you've already seen them begin to experiment with converting existing spaces for this esports crowd. I'm not sure if I see the need to build a dedicated arena on the scale of a T-Mobile or the Sphere or even Thomas and Mack, because you already have those. And those are available as long as you can fit it in their calendar. So, you know, I think that in the short term, the answer is I don't see that kind of development of that scale. I see a lot more smaller scale development, you know, in terms of converting a former nightclub or converting a retail a restaurant space or a lounge into a smaller version of this to try and bring that demographic or that crowd into your casino.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back more on esports with Robert Rippey after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please Stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Robert Rippey. He's with the International Gaming Institute at UNLV in Las Vegas and an expert on esports. So I remember probably a dozen years ago sending an email to somebody at a property here in Reno, and I said, similar to what you were talking about earlier, you know, I've been reading all about this with South Korea. You know, why don't you get a whole bunch of you know, video games into the convention center here in Reno and put on a tournament, because I think it would be huge. And of course, it was totally ignored. But now, as we are talking about this and we can see the potential, this seems to me like it could be an NFR deal where you could have, in a slow time of the year or in midweek as we're looking for convention business that's disappeared for us for right now, that during a slow time you could have a 10-day tournament and it would be national, international, people with money, every age group that you could possibly imagine. I mean, this could be as big or bigger than just about anything else.
You know, Sam, your instincts were spot on years ago, and they still are. This really is a very big phenomenon, and it is waiting for our industries in the state to really begin to tap it. It is everything that you just said. It has all of the elements of a really cool event like NFR. It has retail, it has experiential. You go watch some of the best in the world. You know, it's got food and beverage and it fills hotel rooms. So it has everything that around it that can answer some of those questions. And there are already a massive structure of tournaments that are being played around the world. And it's a question of getting in the queue and getting those lined up to be played, because the equipment to play the tournament is specialized, but that goes with the tournament. It's not like you have to rebuild the arena to accommodate these things. They're done in arenas all over the world. So I think that it's a great point. I think it's a huge opportunity, not just on a big scale of the arena size, but on a smaller scale too, on something that's there 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day in a modern casino, saying, yeah, you know what, but this is for that group that really loves this and they socialize around, they come in there, they hang out for 4 or 5 hours, they play some games, they hang out with their friends, they eat some food, they drink, et cetera. So a good point. I think we're uniquely poised for that type of opportunity to be exploited here in the state.
You know, Robert, when we speak about regular sports, football, basketball, what have you, in terms of Las Vegas, it's always about betting, you know, the point spread, the over-under. Can betting be applied to esports? Is that a way that the casinos could make money off of this?
So it has been allowed. You can bet on esports if you are a licensed sportsbook operator and you apply to Gaming Control for a very high level tournament or for a quarterfinal match or higher. So that precedent's already there. I mean, it is legal in certain aspects. The challenge has been, is that the right way? And there hasn't been a lot of, you know, wagers on that particular type. And so maybe that's not the right way that the players will want to wager. But there's one fact you can't avoid. They're risk takers. They love to play games that require them to risk their skill in or either observe and predict the outcome. So you have a behavior there that does line up with gambling behavior. It's just a question of finding the right solution to enable those two to converge. And when they do converge, I think it's a brand new field for casinos.
Robert, very, very quick answer to this. It seems to me that Nevada and the United States in general seems to be very conservative when it comes to gaming. I think there's always been a fear that it's going to be made illegal again if we do something, you know, too far over the top. It seems to me that in other countries, they are definitely betting on who's winning and who's ahead and how they're going to play and all the rest of this. And we need to jump in with both feet, legally, of course, and with the rules. But I just think this thing is going to be huge in the United States. And we have been missing a gold mine. And now we're jumping on it because of the work that you guys are doing at UNLV. Thank you for being here. And we'd love to talk with you guys more about this as things progress. But it's a very exciting project.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure with being here with you all this morning.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye catches its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.